Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like
welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening, folks, and welcome to Hope is Alive. Coming to you live this Wednesday night, and we'll bring the men on. Good evening, Pastor. Got to push the right button here, don't I? Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard from Oklahoma.
And good evening, Ralph.
Good evening, brothers.
And guys, I'll turn the program over to you. I know we've got a couple callers, and I'll sure let you know when they call in. But other than that, I'll be sitting here listening in.
All right. Well, thank you, Richard.
Sounds good.
Good evening.
Now go ahead, Pastor.
How are you? Okay, I sure will. Everybody, welcome to Hope is Alive, a testimonial show about doing the supernatural works of Jesus, which is commonly called deliverance. We just want to remind everyone out there before we get started that we have a conference coming up in January 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit, feel the call to come out and learn more about deliverance, please give us an email at info@deliveranceusa.com, and you can learn more about it and hopefully help set this nation free in your part of the area, this part of this country. So if you feel the call to do that, please get a hold of us.
And that is at Oklahoma City, you might mention.
Yes, sir, it is. That'll be in Oklahoma City. And if you just contact us at info@deliveranceusa.com, we will give you all the information you need as far as where to stay at, where the conference at. And we ask that those out there that are listening, keep this in prayer, because this is a kingdom event that we are trying to multiply on, and we are trying to continue to set this country free from the bondage they're held into. Well, Pastor. Amen. Well, Pastor, how did this Monday go for you?
Well, there was 15 cases, and I had one from Kentucky, and I was not even there.
Not even there. Did you take a day off?
It goes right along without me. Well, I was involved in some family activity, so I didn't show, but that's good because it is great to have the others fill in what I do, and it just shows how perpetual the ministry is. It's all set up to continue right on down the road. So it was a good evening, though. I've gone over the ministry reports, and it was the usual exciting Monday evening.
Well, praise God. That's good. You know, I was studying on some other things about deliverance. And Pastor will often talk about the doors that are opened that bring demons into our lives. And I've thought about that quite often, about these doors and why they need the doors to come in to. And then it was revealed to me in Revelation 3:20 that Jesus even has to knock at the door, and we have to open the door for even Jesus to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. So this may be old news to you, but it was a revelation to me this week that even in the supernatural, Jesus needs to open the door, or we need to open the door for him to come in. So how much more do the demons have to do the same?
Yes, and it does show the supernatural sense to the opening up of doors. And, of course, in the case of Jesus, we do that intentionally. the doors that are usually opened for demons to come in to torment a person, they don't realize they're doing them in most cases. The body of Christ overall has very little understanding of the 15 doors that we've come to recognize over these 38 years that I've been ministering, and it's really important, we found, to get those doors closed. Otherwise, you may cast out spirits, but they're likely to come back if those doors are still open.
Well, if I remember right, it says they can bring seven worse than before.
Well, that's right. That's scriptural.
Well, it is a great thing that we can close these doors, that we can cast out the spirits that affect us. And there are so many things that can affect us that people don't realize that are just more than just the flesh. Obviously, there's generational curses that come upon us that we really have no control over, because they were placed on our family before we were born. Doesn't seem quite fair, but it's the way it seems to happen. You know, people could be held in spiritual bondage for addictions, pornography, lust, unforgiveness. There's lots of them. As you say, there's the average Christian has 36, three dozen. Is that correct?
That's what we typically see, and frankly, that's conservative.
That's conservative. So,
I always like to point out, while that sounds pretty far out, it's really great to look at it this way. If we do really cast that many out of someone, would they not be better? Well, of
Amen.
Course they are.
Amen. And if you got rid of one.
Oh, yeah, you're better.
If you just get rid of one thing tormenting you, how much better would you feel?
Yeah, you feel better each one. I just every one of them that comes out, you'll feel better. So by the time we've cast that many out, most people, they're smiling, they're commenting, I feel lighter, and it's exciting to us to see that change. Their faces change, they look younger a lot of times. It's amazing how different their faces can look. You know, it's not hard to tell when people look depressed and they just look pounded down. You can look in their face and see that. Well, imagine at the end of the evening when these three dozen some odd spirits are gone. Well, yeah, it's the real them, and they feel wonderful, and their faces are bright, and they're smiling, and that's the payoff to us as the ministers, of course.
Yes, yes, it is. And I haven't had as much experience with deliverance as you have, but I have been out there to your war room and the training and participated in a couple of deliverance sessions, and you do see a difference in people when they walk out. A lot of smiles, a lot of people, and I keep hearing that too. I feel lighter. And another thing, people, when they get rid of those spirits that hold them in bondage, they have the freedom of the Holy Spirit really speaking to them for the first time, and they're generally on fire for the Lord.
Yes.
That's why they haven't been in years.
I can see it now. That is why Jesus so clearly commanded believers in Mark 16:17 for believers to cast out evil spirits in his name. Because most people have them, and I'm speaking of Christians, most Christians have them. They're not in the spirit man, which is secure as a born-again Christian, but they are hanging out in the body and tormenting the mind, will, emotions, the soul area. And so that's why Jesus told us to do this. I see it now. I see why he commanded us. So,
well,
it's sad, though, but when you look around, because after 2,000 years of him giving us all this, we haven't run with it very well. The body of Christ overall doesn't even know that there's evil spirits out there bothering Christians.
No, there is a doctrine out there that once you're saved that you're never affected, and if anything is going bad, it's all your fault, which a lot of times it can be. I mean, people do willfully sin, but the spirits do affect and attack. There's a lot of times that Jesus, and even with Paul was teaching, he was talking straight to Christians. He wasn't talking to unbelievers, talking to Christians. And it is funny how we don't see it right off the bat. It says in, I can't remember if it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, but Paul talks about how we see through a mirror darkly, and that's how we see things at times. But when it's there and it jumps out on you, I mean, that's why it's called the living word. When it jumps out of you and you finally see it, it's like, okay, that mirror is no longer dark. It is clear and complete, and I can see right through it.
Yes. And, of course, even Paul was bothered with the spirit in 2 Corinthians 12, thorn in the flesh. And then, of course, Peter was commanding, he was telling Christians to resist the devil. So was James, speaking to them, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil, and he'll flee. Well, if we're so immune from these evil spirits, why are we told to resist?
That's right. And I even remember one time somebody saying to Peter, get behind thee, Satan.
Right.
So it looks like someone was, something spiritually was affecting Peter. And he was sifted. But when he came back out, he came out stronger and was on fire. And I think at that point, he really understood spiritual warfare.
Yes, they, just like us, we are targets to the enemy. The enemy wants to block us and hinder us so we will not do our ministries and our destiny. So that's why we need to have enough teaching and understanding on this to understand how to deal with it. So that's why we're on the radio tonight, isn't it?
That's right. Amen. Testimony of people have been set free in their experiences. And it is so awesome to hear testimony. Of course, we overcome by the word of our testimony. And it gives encouragement to others. We are told that, I think we're told both in 2 Corinthians and the book of James, that the trials we go through are there so we can help others. And when you are released and go through a trial and find the deliverance of the Lord, it allows you to be able to use your testimony to go and comfort, help, and possibly deliver somebody else.
That's exactly right. And that's where our teams have come from. after they've been ministered to, then they had the compassion to want to help others. They saw the reality of this, and all of our teams have come from being ministered to themselves.
Yes. Well, also I would say that they realize after they've been set free, this is real, and it gives them more fire, more passion.
Yes, they know it's real. Nothing like being there, you know.
Yes. You know, I came across a psalm the other day, and it helped me comfort a brother who's going through trouble. And I just want to share it. Psalms 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. And our enemies are the spiritual world. Our enemies are the demonic realm who come to do the deeds of the devil, that has come to come and steal and destroy.
Yes.
And we have Leon on the line. Leon, are you there?
Yes, I am, Brother Ralph and Brother Albert. This is Leon from Missouri.
Well, good evening.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, good evening.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, I hear you fine, Leon. Thanks for calling in.
Yes.
Okay. Good, good.
Yeah, if you could go ahead and share, Leon, how you first started learning about this area of the gospel that's called deliverance, and then tell of any experiences you've had.
Wow. In like 60 hours or less? Okay.
Okay.
Well, let me get started. You know, I was thinking of, yesterday I read some scriptures, and it was in 1 Peter 3:15. And it says, but sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for your hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So, you know, we need to be able to give that account. You know, I hear you guys talking a lot about Revelation 12:11. You know, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And because of the word of our testimony. So the word of our testimony is so very important. And how I came into deliverance, well, several years ago, I was a bit, well, let's go back even further. I got baptized for Mission of Sins back in 1992 at a winter camp. They had to break the ice off the heated swimming pool. So that's when I became a Christian. And through my Christian walk, you know, it always seemed like I had so many struggles. I had so much other voices in my head. I know I'd be sitting there at the dinner table, and an evil thought would come into my mind. I thought, why am I having an evil thought? Here I have a beautiful family, a wonderful wife, and beautiful daughters, why would I now have an evil thought come into my mind? I should have a God-glorifying, wonderful, you know, type of thought, being in that situation. So I knew something wasn't right. So when, several years ago, when I was introduced to deliverance through Scriptures for America, and I started looking into it, I thought, this is a key. This is an important key for me to advance in my Christian walk. This is an important key to fulfill that scripture. You know, in James 5:16, where it says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Well, a man can't be righteous as he can be if he has thoughts that are leading him away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're told in 2 Corinthians 10:5-6, you know, we are to take every thought captive. That's just not some thoughts. That's every thought captive to the knowledge and obedience of Jesus Christ. So, yeah. I started listening to the program, this one here, This Hope is Alive. Then I started going to the website. I started going through the prayers. I went through a door-closing prayer here at home, and started seeing the effects of it just here at home, just doing what I did at home. I traveled 20 miles to work, and as I travel, I could feel the Lord telling me names. And those names, I believe, were names of demons. And then I would do my best to get them removed. Well, as advancing as I was, I felt it best to go down to Oklahoma City. So about, I would say, at least over a year ago, my wife and I, we went down to Oklahoma City. Had a wonderful time. It was very interesting, to say the least. It was great, and I really enjoyed it. But now I feel like I need to do a little infomercial, you know, and this part of Christianity is excellent, and I don't want to downplay it one bit. We need this, men, to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have our thoughts and our obedience in line with the Lord. But I don't have a TV, but I often go over to my father-in-law's and sit through about 20 minutes of commercial while I'm watching a five-minute show. And in these pharmaceutical commercials, there's something else. You know, they talk for 10 seconds about how this drug is wonderful. And then the next 50 seconds, they talk about all the bad side effects of this drug. Well,
yeah.
You guys mentioned the bad stuff a little bit, but I just want to talk a little bit more about the bad stuff, because we need to count the costs. And I think it's important to count the costs. Hey, and the benefit, I want to say this right off the bat, is way better than the costs. I am moving exponentially, I feel like, closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like I can read the scriptures better, I understand the scriptures better, and I feel like I pray more effectively when I do pray. So I don't want to belittle that. That is wonderful. But when you take on the realm of darkness, when you come before them with your full armor of God on, he's going to fight back. Satan will fight back. And you may think that you have everybody covered. He will use your family. He'll use your children. He'll use your work associates. He'll use other people. He'll use your job. But the more you fight Satan, the bigger the target that you have on your back. So that's something that we need to realize. And once you get started fighting Satan, it isn't like, oh, okay, well I want to quit now. Because you can't. You can't. You have stepped into the realm of taking down the darkness. You can't just say, oh, well, at this point, I want to quit, take a break, because he's not going to take a break. You still got that target on your back. You've still been taking him on in the demonic realms. He still sees you as an enemy. Since I have been praying for my country, praying for my nation, praying for schools, in the last 3 years, no, in the last year, three children, I say they're children, but they're actually, one was 18, one was 21, the other was 23. Three people I know that hasn't been close to the family, but known by the family and know the family, know my family, have died. Have two of them committed suicide, the other one had a heroin overdose. Satan will use anything he can to get at you if you want to be a warrior for Christ. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I just have to throw that out there as a, you know, count the costs, because there is a cost to advancing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want
yes,
you to.
If I might,
I just want those out there.
If I could inject in here, Leon. Of course, as a way I see it, we're already targets. We were targets when we got born again. Satan already has the other. So once you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you are a target. You got a bullseye on your back. But by the same token, once you're born again, now you have the ability to speak in Jesus' name. Once you're under the authority of the Lord Jesus, the demons are under your authority in his name. And as you learn about the war, we're in the war zone, and we will be until we go to heaven. But we have the tools to fight now with that we didn't ever know about before and didn't even have them until you were born again. So,
absolutely.
You know, like the suicide spirits, we run into suicide. I ministered to a 16-year-old this last week that was suicidal. And, you know, those are going on all around us. I've had grandchildren have thoughts of suicide come into their heads. But, you know, it's all around us. At least when we recognize it, if we will move forward as commanded in Jesus' name, we can do something about it. So,
yes.
And then, of course, I've yes. seen we have to, there's keys for staying free that we teach, and that's part of the process. As you learn about this, you need to learn those keys for staying free so that, you know, those spirits won't come back. They'll try, but again, through these steps, you can learn how to keep countering.
Oh, yes, yes, and I'm not disagreeing, and hey, it's worth it. I don't want to make it sound like it's not worth it, because it is so wonderful, you know, seeing that you have effective prayers, feeling that closeness with Jesus Christ, and having your thoughts. You know, I never realized how much easier it is to pray, to worship, when I don't have evil thoughts trying to lead me astray, or even try to communicate people. You know, now when I'm speaking to people about Jesus Christ, I'm much more effective. I keep my thoughts more directed. I reveal the truth to them with meekness, of course, and humbleness, without being judgmental. And, you know, and it's worth it. It really is. I had to throw in that little infomercial there just so people realize there is a cost. Everything has a cost. But it is so wonderful, the benefits of growing to be so much closer to Jesus Christ. You know, it's hard to comprehend at times that the God who spoke the stars into existence wants to be our best friend. And it's so great having him as our best friend.
Yeah.
Was you going to say something?
Praise God.
I'll tell you that since I have gone through deliverance, Brother Leon kind of touched on it there, I have found I have more compassion, and I'm not as quick to judge others for their issues, because I start to realize a lot of times people are being affected. They don't know what spirit they're of. And I try to have a little bit more compassion. So now, sometimes I see somebody, and I feel that that righteous indignation boil up in me. But I'm finding more and more I'm seeing the bondage that people are in, and this suicide thing is in this nation. It is definitely a curse on this nation. It is a spirit that's come upon people who just have no hope. I used to believe that people that committed suicide were cowards. Or, as I was talking to another brother in Christ about some things, is if somebody was facing an accusation or something, they would kill themselves. I'm like, well, they killed themselves because they were guilty and they couldn't live with it. But I'm starting to realize, no, they don't realize that there's hope, and they can't see light at the end of the tunnel because they don't have that light of Jesus in their lives. And if they're being lied to, well, you'd be better off dead, or no one's going to believe you, or all these things that can come upon a person. And these can come upon Christians as well, too. But I just cannot imagine facing the problems that are in this nation today, especially the young people are going through, without the hope of Jesus. And it's really helped me have more compassion for them than to be so judgmental and condemning of them.
No question about it, Ralph. When you see people doing weird things, you having some knowledge in this deliverance arena, you realize they're just probably demonizing. It actually gets to be easier to forgive people when you understand that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But the good news being, in Jesus' name, we can prevail. And
you bet.
We just need to shoot anytime something raises its ugly head. Here we have the power if we use it. And so we are to use it, as we have seen in the scriptures that have been quoted today.
Amen. Yeah, I kind of think of it like back in the elementary school, when you had a bully, and you had your friends come to back you up, and you went to talk to the bully, and you get to that point of no return where you have said maybe just a little bit too much, and he's foaming at the mouth, and you turn around, and your friends are nowhere to be found. But with Jesus, when you go before that bully and you tell that realm of darkness, you command it in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. But then you look to your side and there's no Jesus, and you look behind you, no Jesus. And you look to the other side, no Jesus, because Jesus is in front of you. He has your front guard. When you're speaking to Satan, when you speak into the realm of evil and darkness, Jesus stands before you. And it's just wonderful. You know, I got to witness Jerry going through helping a man with needing deliverance down there in Oklahoma City. And I was just amazed. Jerry could, he had faith like a child. You know, just his faith like a child. And how he would laugh and purposely play around with the demonics and say, we have all power, we have all authority in Jesus' name. You know, they know that. And that was just, it was very interesting to see in his faith, the faith as a child. You know, he didn't yell or scream or get up and kick the chair or nothing. You know, he just commanded it and it was done.
Amen. Praise God. It's not how loud you are, it's by the authority in which you speak. And another thing, Leon, having angels at our back is very comforting, and a level of security, of course. When we can call on God's angels, Hebrews 1:14, to be of service to us. How good, how strong does that make you feel?
Very.
Well, it's like saying, well, my dad's bigger than your dad. Well, our dad, who is Jesus, the great I Am, the creator of all things, is bigger than their dad, which is the devil. And so we can honestly say that to them. My daddy is bigger than your daddy. And they understand that. They understand that well.
Amen.
And Brother Leon, do you plan on attending in January?
I am going to try to. I just recently got a promotion at work, so it's kind of hitting at a bad time. I'm going to do my best to make it down there for Saturday and Sunday, and just have to see how things go on Monday. It'll be after
a shutdown. Would you recommend it out there for the brethren?
You bet. Brethren, wherever you are, it's worth it. Go there. It's time for us as men of Jesus to stand up, put on that full armor of God, and advance. And be the warriors that he's called us out to be. And we can't do that if we are constantly being sidetracked by little voices that's leading us astray and keeping us from having that effectual prayer as a righteous man should have.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's my testimony in 60 minutes or less.
Holy, thank you, Brother Leon. Is there anything else you'd like to say before you get out of here?
No, I guess I probably leave some time for Brother Howard. I hate to take up all his time.
Holy, we thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for the
Thanks,
opportunity.
Leon.
God bless you, brothers.
Blessings.
And we want people to realize, as a Christian, you already have the power. As a Christian, you already have the authority. What we are offering in January is showing you how to operate properly and more effectively. We have Pastor Cox, who is 38 years of fine-tuning this. If you've ever listened to some of his testimony, he said they used to be out till 2 in the morning yelling and screaming and hollering at these demons to get out. And he's taken his experience of basically how to shoot and aim properly, sort of like the art of war against demons, and has put it in and simplified it so it's simple steps. There's a process of order that they have found that works best, and it cuts down on the fireworks, so to speak, and it effectively gets people free quicker and easier.
Amen.
And I do believe we have Howard on the line. Howard, are you there?
I am, brother. This is Ralph, isn't it?
Well, good evening. Hey. This is Ralph.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
How's Alaska?
45 below, almost all the way back.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm at 40 above, so I'm doing all right.
That's only 85
degrees. You can keep that below.
And yeah, yes, we're coming to 40. Oklahoma in January.
It's coming up where it's warm. Yeah, the sunny south of Oklahoma in January.
Yeah, right, you'll probably lay out.
Yeah.
You can go down by the pool, Howard.
Excuse me?
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Howard, you've been through deliverance here, and you've been giving books out and learning more and more about deliverance, and we hear that you've even done some now up there in the Fairbanks area. How about sharing how that went?
Todd and Stacy, they went through it, a week or so ago. Yep. One night we went through the door closing prayer, and then we went through deliverance the next night. And they're doing fine, smiling.
She had
a rough time after the door closing prayer. She had a real rough time, but she was fine after the deliverance part of it.
And you know, even during the door closing prayer or after, sometimes people will have spirits leaving, and that may be what she was experiencing.
She was like vomiting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does happen.
But her biggest thing was ungodly soul ties. I was surprised. I figured it's something else, but she got all her relief from ungodly soul ties and generational curses.
Yeah,
after the
that
door
is a big one.
There.
That's why we do that
stuff,
first.
You know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why we do ungodly soul ties right after the door closing prayer, because we found it to be a major area of relief, and that sounds like what she experienced.
Right.
So how else did it go, Howard? Did they how else did it go?
I don't understand what you mean.
No, how did the rest of the deliverance go with them the next day?
Oh, fine. Yeah. They did fine through all the deliverance and everything, a few burps and stuff, but nothing major. It was most of them come out in the door closing prayer and the ungodly soul ties and all.
Yeah, that often happens. Were you able to do the limb check with them, Howard?
Excuse me?
Were you able to do the limb check with them?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we did that. Yeah. And Todd's back is always hurting. And after the limb check and all and the adjustments and his neck and everything, yeah, his back didn't hurt anymore. It's gone.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Did he have a short leg? Did he have a short leg or arm?
Yeah, he had one leg a little bit shorter than the other one. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And you watched it adjust?
Right.
It's always, exciting seeing it a short leg adjust out to be equal as we speak in Jesus' name. It's a tangible miracle to all of us.
All of it. All of it's been exciting. I've got another guy I'm supposed to talk to tomorrow night that has been through kind of a deliverance before, but he's had things come back, and we talked a little bit, and I got to get a hold of him tomorrow night and talk with him.
You know, Howard, there's a lot of deliverance ministries that still do not do a door-closing prayer.
I believe that because I've watched one. This is the guy that I baptized, must have been 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. Had problems with demons and went over and anointed his house and all 3 or 4 years ago. And his mother had suggested he went to this ministry out in North Pole there, and I took him out there, me and Carmen did, and the deliverance part of it took 15 minutes, and he was done. And not quite as thorough as this that we're learning now.
Well, God is big, and I'm not surprised at anything, but generally we find most people are more complicated than 15 minutes.
I'm sure he's way more complicated. This guy was putting $100 in his slippers and putting them out on the front step in an apartment complex because the demon was telling him to do so.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the deceiver.
Yeah. Right.
That's another way they steal, kill, and destroy, in that case, giving his money away.
Well, it was still there in the morning, so he got it back. Praise the Lord.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God for that. Maybe the angel protected it.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have anything, and I'm going, wow, you did that, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So it is just such an exciting, it's exciting. I don't know how to phrase it. It's exciting and to serve the Lord our God in this way, for me anyhow.
You know, Howard, if you can do two deliverances, you can do 100.
Right. I believe that.
And there's probably...
I think the first one's the worst one.
Probably
just,
so.
Yeah, the not knowing, I guess, was the biggest thing for me, you know. Is she going to fall on the floor and flop around or what, you know? And I'm going, no, she didn't.
Well, if it does happen, you just shut them down and say, be still, and continue the ministry.
In name of Jesus, right? Yep.
Yes, amen.
Amen. But they're smiling. She's still at the house. She's been there for the last week or so. God's taking care of
awesome,
stuff he had to get done. So, excuse me?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're smiling and happy. So, they only had one snag when I gave them the list on door openers. They're living together and not married, so they're both looking at me, and I said, well, isn't it a sin? I think they were looking for, well, it's okay, but it didn't happen, so. They plan on getting married now.
So. Praise God. You know, when I find that out, I think it's a good procedure to go ahead and minister to them, because what I've seen is many times, even though they're living together, you go ahead and minister to them, then they get married after ministry. after they got delivered. They were had demons. They were blocking their lives accordingly.
Right, right.
So the demonic realm is lying to them, telling them that it's okay. It's okay to live together. That's a lie that's being spread all over this country on TV and everywhere. That, you know, just live together, it'll be okay. And a lot of us are guilty of it. I was guilty of it at one time. And I thought what I was doing was perfectly okay, and it wasn't a big deal. But I realize now that it is. And probably at that time in my life, I'm sure of it, I had demons that were affecting me and telling me, don't worry about it, don't worry about it.
And that was probably the lying demon that was saying that.
Yes.
That was a deceiver saying that in your head, you know.
Yes.
Sure, I'll fix this for you. Yeah.
Right.
It's been a blessing to me and the people I'm around. I know Carm can tell the difference and stuff, so she plans on coming to Oklahoma sometime. So,
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Yep. So.
Well, as close as we are, that shouldn't be a problem.
Close, yeah, we're close. Yeah. But I buy a lot of fuel, so I get airline miles.
Oh, I see. Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, our ultimate goal is to have a deliverance satellite station in Alaska, so people don't have to hop on the plane and come down here where it's warm and sunny. They can take care of their needs because there'll be deliverance ministers operating in Alaska.
Amen. It's cold up here. They'll probably come up.
And you don't have a whole lot of people up there, so it should be you should be able to get it done pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, it is nice in the summer. I've been up to Alaska six times, but it was always in the summer.
Yeah.
Deliverance up there.
No, we just got a cold snap here the last few days, so, yeah.
How much daylight do you have now?
Well, in Fairbanks, the sun comes up around 10 o'clock and goes away at 2 or 3. Yeah. Up north, there's none. The sun went down in November, and it'll come back up in February.
Oh, it's dark all the time up there. Wow.
When I leave, Prudhoe, which is up north, and when I leave there, you can see the sun starting to come up at 10 o'clock in the morning in the distance, and I chase it all the way home. I never see the sun, but I just chase it.
Does it get twilight at all?
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, like if you get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and went hunting or something. If you can picture it up north, instead of the sun coming up, it goes in a circle because of the way the earth is. So it actually, you can see it circling around on the horizon, but it never comes up over the horizon.
Yeah.
It's a little bit. And then Fairbanks, it always comes up, but it comes up over the mountain and then goes right back down. I think the shortest day of the year is like 2 hours and 30 minutes or so in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
So,
well, you'll have to come down to sunny Oklahoma.
You bet.
And
you do plan on
coming in January, is that correct, Howard?
As far as I know, I had great hopes in somebody coming with me, a man that I know, but when he wanted to talk about it, he said, well, my wife will be here, so I don't know how this is going to work out. He wanted his wife to be there to even talk, so it might not work out. Well,
if the Lord and the Holy Spirit want him there, I'm sure every door will be open. It needs to be open, and every door that needs to be closed will be closed.
Oh, you bet. Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I would suggest everybody to do it. You know, it's been a great blessing for me, my household, and the people around me. So I hope it continues to grow.
Howard, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are there a lot of suicides up there?
Well, that's the Tom. I talked to him the other day, and his brother-in-law hung himself off the front of the boat. And Tom is the one that found him. And he called me after church, not this last weekend, weekend before last, 5 minutes after church ended, and wanted to talk. And I said, okay, we talked a little bit, and then I talked about deliverance. And he says, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not the victim. Well, he is. He just doesn't realize it. So him and his wife are going through a lot of grief. So anyhow, I took him one of your books, and he's going to read the book. He's a Christian, and he's going to get back to me. So I don't know what will come of it, but I just keep praying for him.
Amen. Well, before you came on, Leon, we were talking about how common suicides are. I minister into. In fact, I had just a week and a half ago, a young lady called on the ministry line and said she was thinking about suicide, and I said, well, come into the office. She wasn't very far away, and she brought her husband with her, and I got them both born again, and then we, of course, ministered to her on this suicide area, and praise God, there haven't been any more problems, so...
Praise the Lord.
It's just,
you know, these tormentors, and that's what Tom was saying. You know, his brother-in-law was just tormented constantly. And, like they told him, I wish I'd have known before. But, you know, most of these people are holding this stuff inside of them. You don't even know what they're going through.
Yeah. They're hearing the voices, though, and all that. Tormented, harassed, physically even. We see all that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So,
well, you can tell when somebody's
depressed
or been beaten down. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get the word out, and that's what we're doing here.
You bet.
I'm believing you're going to set Fairbanks free, Howard.
Yeah, I hope. The Lord willing.
I believe he's going to set the whole state free.
Amen.
that little spark, and the seed that he is planting.
We have all power and
authority.
Obey
free.
All power and authority.
It's a big state, Howard. You better get to work.
Oh, I'll get to work. I said, but we've got a big work too.
You know,
well,
Howard.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, I was just going to say, what is exciting? Once you learn these ministry steps, you can use it the rest of your life, because you will constantly have people around you that need help like this, that need ministry, and most Christians never have anybody around them that can help them. They just cope and they live their lives the best they can, and a certain number of committing suicide, what have you, and they never get this kind of ministry. So what you've learned, Howard, you can use the rest of your life now.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
And keep learning.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't know of anything. I challenge them to go down there to Oklahoma City in January.
Well, amen. Amen. Well, Howard, thank you for calling
this
evening. God bless you.
Amen. Then have a great evening, and God bless you both, and Richard, and we'll talk to you later.
Blessings, brother.
Blessings to you, too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Again, we want to remind everybody, if they want more information about coming to Oklahoma City in January, those dates are the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Now, you don't have to be there the whole weekend. If you can only be part of it, that'll be okay. But,
and Mike mentioned the book also, Ralph.
Yeah, the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, that is available at Scriptures for America. or at Deliverance USA, or available from delmen.org. Is that right? That's the one that goes straight to yours?
That's correct.
Okay. And these have the steps are there. You can also go to the website, and the ministry tools are there for you as well, with videos for teaching and guiding. But anyway, that weekend that we have coming up planned, for the most part, it's you arrive on the 6th or as early as you can on the 7th. We have that Saturday a plan to praise and worship, and those who need deliverance will have ministers there to perform the deliverance for you. Then on Sunday, we'll have praise at, for church. And then Monday, if you want to go to the war room to get trained, you'll go over to where Everett has his training and be trained in the war room to be more effective in the way to fight this in this demonic realm.
Amen and amen. Well, thanks, Brother Ralph, for sharing and that's covering no all problem. That.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a great meeting come January.
I think so. And something that I want to add, too, that people don't realize, that a lot of these things can affect Christians. And I think in the next week or two, we're going to have, we had talked about this a couple weeks ago, Everett, about myself giving the testimony that I have and the things that I have seen in my life, things I didn't understand before I became a Christian, and certainly didn't understand them after I became a Christian, and plagued me up until about 2 years ago. And I feel that there's probably more Christians out there that have experienced, maybe not to the extent of the things that I saw and experienced, but it's out there. And these things are real. They do affect Christians. It doesn't mean that you're any less of a Christian. It just means that you are a target, and things have to be gotten rid of. And since the deliverance, the clarity is just, the clarity. The clarity is there. I mean, for the first time in your life, at least for me, and I know that pastors heard these testimonies as well, too, that you're not hearing all these different voices of doubt, of fear, of wickedness, as Brother Leon would talk about, and these thoughts would come up, and now, you know, it's just simple. If they do come up, hey, that's not of the Holy Spirit, it's not of God. Perish the thought. In Jesus' name, go. And they go so
Amen.
Simple. They go so simple once you get it. Once you get it and you figure it out, it's so simple to get them out. And this training that we have is there to make you, it's kind of a special forces training, maybe boot camp for some, but it's a special forces training to make you a more effective warrior for Jesus, because that's what we are. We are warriors for Jesus, onward Christian soldier, and we have an opportunity to free this nation, to deliver this nation, and we want to give you the training to do it. So if you feel the moving of the Holy Spirit to come and do this, please give us a drop a line at info@deliveranceusa.com, and we will get back with you the details.
Hallelujah.
Well, guys, that's all the time. That's all the time we got tonight. So, hey, great program. Thanks, guys, for being on tonight.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive. Strong. When there is silence, hope. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our